Our Bible reading today comes from Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 20. Peter's declaration about Jesus. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
I remember years ago coming across a story told by a man called Bruce Larson in his book, The Edge of Adventure. Larson was describing a very long and seldom used trail across the Amargosa Desert in the state of Nevada in the USA. People walking the trail are few and far between. It's a desert wasteland, effectively, with scorching arid heat by day and freezing temperatures by night. Well, Larson described a certain point in the trail where there was a very old-fashioned looking water pump. Attached to the pump by a piece of wire was an old baking powder tin. And inside the tin was a very brief handwritten note. The ancient pump afforded the thirsty trekker their only hope of drinking water because there was nothing else for miles around. Anyway, the note read as follows. "This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put the new leather sucker onto it and it ought to last for several years. But this leather washer dries out and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some of it first. Pour in about one quarter and let it soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest, medium fast, and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. Then when you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next feller." And the note was signed Desert Pete. "P.S.," it read, "don't go drinking up the water first. Prime the pump with it first, and you'll get all that you can hold." Having water to drink versus using it up in the hope that you'll get some more to drink later is quite a choice to have to make. We might not be faced with that kind of choice, but we probably can think of occasions when instinct has been pushing us in one direction, while at the same time, faith has been pulling us in quite another. Instinct has been an evolutionary necessity for human beings. It's the subconscious part of our being that encourages us to think of self-preservation. Often it prompts us to choose the safe and practical solution to our problems. And crucially, obviously, it can help us to mitigate risk. Our base instinct is a kind of sixth sense, a necessary sense and awareness in which we rely in the hope that will inform some of the choices that we make. Faith, on the other hand, can sometimes, though not always, be at odds with instinct. Faith can call upon us to do the unthinkable, to put our trust in the unaccountable, even to invest our hope in the untested. Amongst other things, faith is that tug on our conscience, that inner voice. that niggling suspicion that it might be right to follow a less predictable course of action, that insistent sensation that the right thing to do may seem at first to be the least wise thing to do. Within us all, there is at some time or another tension between the direction in which our instinct would have us go and the direction in which our faith would have us go. But the two things aren't always mutually exclusive. Take Peter, for example. In the reading we heard today, we find Peter in conversation with Jesus. There was debate about who Jesus was. Some people were convinced that he was actually John the Baptist. Others thought that he was Elijah back from the dead. And many others still thought that he was an outstanding prophet sent to pass on messages from God. But what about you? Jesus had asked Peter. Who do you say that I am? Peter knew instinctively what to answer. You are the Christ, he says. You are the Messiah. And yet Peter would come to know only too well that tension between instinct and faith. If you remember, as the political climate around Jesus intensified, three times Peter denied having had anything at all to do with Jesus. And in that moment, his instinct for self-preservation won the battle between self-preservation and faith. Being faithful, keeping to the faith which we confess, can sometimes be a difficult thing to do, irrespective of how deeply held our beliefs might be. Who do you say that I am? I always imagine that there was some note of challenge either in Jesus' words or in the tone of voice he used. It's a question which should challenge us too, because Jesus asks the same question not only of Peter, but of each and every one of us. Who do you say that I am? From the vantage point of 2022, from the vantage point of where you are now with what you know, perhaps even from the vantage point of understanding everything you have to gain and everything you have to lose, who do you say that I am? And what I wonder is your answer. Messiah, Christ, revolutionary, leader, shepherd, prophet, inspiration, example, rabbi, master. Because whatever you or I choose to answer, there will always be a consequence. Answer leader, then think of where that answer may eventually take us. Answer revolutionary, then think of what that answer may eventually demand of us. Answer Messiah, then think of what's going to be expected of us, for we are disciples and we follow faithfully in the footsteps of one far greater than us. Our calling and our challenge is to live a little less by certainty or instinct, and a little more by trust and by faith. That was the challenge which Larsen's trekkers faced as well. The surest way to get a mouthful of water was to drink what there was there in front of them, the water that was provided for them and that was there ready and waiting. But in order to get their fill, to get more than they could possibly have needed, and in order to be truly satisfied, they would have had to trust in someone they'd never seen and carry out the instructions for working a well word for word. But as the note promised, the well has never run dry. Have faith. And you know, that note may as well have been written for us. Because if, like Peter, we dare to proclaim that Jesus is indeed the Christ, and if we have faith in what God asks of us, then we too will find that that will be our experience in this day and in this age. Amen.